Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness and modern-day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins. Today we have with us a special guest. His name is Anthony Brown, and aka Outcast 2020, and he's here with us. And before we get into it, I want to thank the longtime listeners for listening and sharing it. And if you haven't done so yet, please rate this in Spotify or Apple Podcasts so it can go out to more people and then more people can be encouraged. And if you are new, welcome. We hope that you get something out of it. I believe God has something to say to everybody in every episode. So we pray that you get that download and can share something with a friend. And we're going to have Anthony start us off with an opening prayer.
So awesome. Thank you so much. Father God, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be here. I pray, God, that your presence comes down in this room, Lord. I pray that whoever's listening, whoever might not know you, Lord, will hear the words and learn to know you, God. I pray, Father God, that you just be with us. You guide us, Lord. You be with my words. Be with my voice, Lord. And just speak through me in the name of Jesus. We ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Now, we know Anthony because of Ben Akers. He is in Tri-State Worship. So Anthony has a lot going on. So where would you like to start?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, the reason that I'm here, I guess, because I think we're trying to come back one time as Tri-State Worship with all of us, which would be cool, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
stay tuned.
So I'm going to try to keep the drumming aspect kind of out of it. It's like two different stories on how I got started with because for those of you that don't know, I rap, that's why I'm here under Outcast 2020. So I go by that name because it's Outcast 2020 is like I'm an outcast of this world because I see Christ in 2020 vision. And that's kind of where that comes from. It actually comes from a ministry that I used to play drums in years ago called the Outcast Ministries. And that's kind of why I decided to go with Outcast because, I'm not of this world, because my whole life I was raised in a very Christian home. I was raised by both my parents. I had both my parents in my home, both loving parents. So I've always known God. You know what I mean? Like I've known, I guess, of Him. But my story kind of starts in, I want to say 1997. So I know you guys probably remember that year because you guys got a few years on me.
I was still in the Navy in 97. Yep.
Good times, fuzzy memories.
Right. Yeah, so So we lived in Westmoreland, Tennessee at the time. And now to hear my dad talk about it, he would say that we were some of the most blessed people. Because what's funny is we didn't really know a whole lot of people because my mom's side of the family lived in Arizona and my dad's side of the family lived in West Virginia. I'm not going to get into that because that's a long story on why we're in the middle. So we didn't really know anybody, but we were very faithful. We loved the Lord. We went anytime there was a church service, we were there. But at the time, I want to say it was in 97, my mom ended up pregnant again. I was actually, how old was I? I think I was 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old when she was pregnant. So yeah, so I basically... We lived there for a while. My sister was born, and she was born with a slew of problems, like a lot of physical problems. She was handicapped. She was basically, if she was alive today, she would be bound to a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. What I mean? So it'd be one of those situations. She was in pretty bad shape, but she lived. I don't even know how long. Probably a year and a half. It wasn't too long until she eventually passed away.
Unfortunately, you said she had a slew of problems. Was there a diagnosis for what the prominent factor was for those problems?
She had a seizure disorder. It was just like a birth defect. Mm-hmm. I don't really know the whole situation, but yeah, she just had some birth defects. Mm-hmm.
Sorry for your loss, by the way.
Oh, thank you. But I remember now this part. I do kind of remember. So I had woken up, and I remember I woke up. My parents were just real frantic. They're just going through, on the phone, and my sister was in her crib. My dad grabbed her, and I remember my dad. Even though we were Christians, he when he dealt with his anger, he would swear a lot. Mm-hmm. What I mean? And mm-hmm. had that sailor tongue. Many and I'm not. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not innocent in that factor, anyways.
I don't think very many Christians are innocent in that. And I think that's one of our darkest secrets is that we don't want to tell each other. Right. That we're still human.
Right.
It's
right,
a hard
right.
habit to break.
Right. Right. Definitely. But yes, that was going on. I do remember a little bit of that. And you know, because the ambulance took a long time to get there. And what had happened was my mom woke up to give her her. That was another thing too that I didn't mention earlier, was that she had a feeding tube in her stomach, so mm-hmm. that was how she got her nutrients. And my mom had woken up to feed her, you know, and she wasn't breathing, you know, didn't know why, it just happened, you know. And so they called the ambulance. The ambulance took forever to get there. So my dad was freaking out. My mom was freaking out. And I was just there because I was 5 years old. I didn't really know the situation or really what was going on. And because at that time, you know, I was so young, I didn't understand the concept of life, death. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't really understand. But I guess what had happened was she had passed away in her sleep. And we don't even know how long she was there. You know what I mean? It was just she woke up and she was gone. And few days later, we were at her funeral, and I do remember this. I looked up to my dad, and because the funeral was over, they did the eulogy and stuff, and then they were started filling the hole because she had a casket, you know, and they were filling in the hole and putting the dirt on it. And I was like, Dad, you know, why are they throwing dirt on my sister? And I was like mad about it, you know what I mean? And my dad, that you know, used that opportunity to explain, you know, she's in heaven, she's with Jesus, you know, and stuff. And again, I was just like, well, cool, you know, like I didn't understand it, you know. Now, fast forward, I think we still lived there for a few months after that. But, you know, that's hard after losing a child. You know, you're like, mm-hmm. you just want to get out of there. So we ended up moving to Arizona to be with my mom's side of the family. And during this time, again, we were very involved in our church because we went to the church that my grandmother went to. It was actually New Beginnings Church of the Nazarene. This is when I was telling you guys before the podcast started, I was telling you guys how I'd been to many different denominations, and I kind of got mm-hmm. a bit of a grasp on the certain types of churches and what they believe and stuff. Nazarenes, normally, they don't believe in, you know, like the crazy worship that Pentecostals do. You know, they're real mm-hmm. laid back. But the church that we went to was actually very lively. Now, they still did the turn to your 297 in your hymnal. You know what I mean? And then you do the hymnals, but they were still like, hallelujah. And they were like, yeah. And they were like, you know, I wouldn't say they were dancing, but they were
excited.
They were excited about Jesus. You know yeah. what I mean? And which it's funny because moving out here, we tried to go to a few Nazarene churches out here. And it was jarring because they're the opposite of that. Like they're like, you know, Methodists, like real laid back and, you know, it's fine. You know, worship however you want. You know what I mean? But it was for us, it was jarring. So that's why I prefer going to where I go, because mm-hmm. it's just more, you know, lively and mm-hmm. excited, I guess.
The Holy Spirit is free to express itself.
Right. Right.
You know, with a blank check.
Right.
Go ham, Holy Spirit.
Right. Like, you are invited. Absolutely, absolutely. But this church that we went to in Arizona was like that, you know, and the pastor had a vision where he, you know, he did a, there was a, like a food program that he did. So every, like, I think it was last Friday of the month, he would do a, we call it Project Manna, you know, scripturally based. And he would basically turn the sanctuary into like a food market almost, essentially. And people would come in and they would pay very little for the food, if not anything. Sometimes he'd give stuff away. And it was just, God was doing some powerful stuff in that church. And it was, again, it was a Nazarene church. And coming out here, it's like, wow, I can't believe how different it is just like across the country. You know what I mean? But we were very involved. You know, my dad had a CDL. The place, it got so big that they had like freezer trucks out back. Cause I mean, it basically the church had two services. They had one for English and one for Spanish. And they had a whole, they had like, I can remember, they had like three buildings, one building for the adults, one for the adults in English, and then one building for the adults in Spanish, and then another building for just the children, you know. So I mostly obviously was in the children's area, but it was really nice, you know. And they even had a skate park out back. Like it was pretty crazy. But yeah, so he did a lot of these things for the community, did Christmas programs, and we were like, my family was like the head of it. Like my dad was the sound guy, you know, he ran the sound. And then I remember on these days, because I would go and I would volunteer before school, because this was a Friday, and I would wake up early, like, I don't know, like 3:30, 4 a.m. That's how early I'd wake up, because we lived kind of far from the church. We lived probably, it was probably a 45-minute drive, but everything was so flat, you know what I mean? So it didn't really, we can probably see it from our house because of how flat everything was.
It's a clear day. I can see the church is open.
Right. Yeah, so that's kind of like what we did. Like, we were very involved, and, you know, and we were very faithful to, like, our tithes and stuff like that. And I'm saying all this because it's going to be important for later, you know what I mean? So basically, my mom ended up pregnant a second time, you know, with my brother. His name was Daniel. I remember him more because of just how I was a little bit older, you know, at this time. So what had happened was, you know, he was born again with a very similar situation to my sister, Jessica. You know, my parents told me that he might have been not quite as bad as Jessica, but from my perspective looking in, he looked a little bit worse. Because I remember, you know, every month he had to have oxygen tanks delivered to our house. You know what I mean? And like, I don't remember that from Jessica, you know. He had a seizure disorder, but he also had sleep apnea. I don't know if you know what that is or not.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, so he would just, every once in a while, he would just quit breathing in his sleep, you know, and he was hooked up to a machine that would go off very loudly. And, you know, if that were to happen, normally my parents can just grab and wake him up and he'll snap out and he'll be fine. Now, another thing that this whole, that everything's going to tie into itself is I was also, while I was at school, again, I was doing everything for my church, and even at that young age, you know how when you're in high school, you have to get a certain amount of, like, community service hours to graduate. I don't know if you guys ever had that or you know what I'm talking
about. I did not, but okay. I needed it in the Boy Scouts to get certain merit badges and such. So right. You can be an Eagle Scout. Like, you couldn't do it without community service. Like, what, you could not.
Okay. Yeah, well, my school, I required for a few hours of community service. Well, I didn't have to do that because by the time I was 7 years old, I'd already done those community service hours because of what I did with my church. You know what I mean? So that's how, you know, how it was. I was probably the youngest volunteer there. And I had a heart to serve. You know what I mean? Like, I was just there. And so did my parents. You know, we always had to serve. We had to be somewhere, you know. But while this was going on, I was also mistreated very significantly in school because in Arizona, there's not a whole lot of white people there, you know, and a lot of people don't like me talking about
this. Yeah, no, I grew up in Las Vegas, and, you know, when you look at the demographics of America, it's all the population, but not considering where you live or right. population density of cities and certain right. areas that significantly change the percentage numbers
right.
from that whole. So, yeah, I grew up and I had a lot of Hispanic kids in my school. I mean, a lot. I'd say that it was probably half white kids instead of like the 60%. And then and that's just Vegas. I mean, I was farther from the border than Arizona by a little bit.
Yeah, I remember like there was a couple white kids in my school. Like, I don't even remember. There was like two or three that I could think of off the top of my head. Like, it was a very small number. And I was a minority. And because of that, I got picked on a lot because they didn't like white people. You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't like me talking about it, but the fact is that, you know, like, you can be racist towards a white person, too. And that happened to me a lot. You know what I mean? And
I've experienced that a time or two.
Yeah. And so now while all this was going on, we were faithful to our church. There were people, because our pastor also did these Christmas programs where he would go to like real low income places, like I'm talking like an Indian reservation or something, and would just give toys and give away stuff to the families. Because people joke about this in like, you know, shows like Family Guy or South Park or whatever. People make jokes about how a lot of people live in like one rural small house. That actually happened. That's like a reality because I've seen it firsthand. And like there was times when people that I went to school with, you know, they would bully me in school, but in their home life was like they would have like nine brothers and sisters, and they would live in a one-bedroom house in like real small. And so and I was there. I was the front runner of it. Like, I would give people stuff, you know, because I was an only child basically. I was an only child growing up. And I would get everything that I've ever really wanted or needed. I should say needed, because times were tough, you know what I mean? But my parents always provided everything that I needed. But my Christmases and birthdays were always really good, you know what I mean? So I would help people that couldn't afford stuff. I would be the front runner. I would give stuff, you know what I mean? I would help. And so with all this going on, you know, I had my brother in and out of the hospital. And then I remember we were at our Christmas Eve service at our church. I remember his machine started going off, you know, like, and normally my parents would grab him and whatever, he would be fine. But this time it didn't shut off. You know what I mean? So my parents were starting to get frantic. So they, you know, they grabbed him and they took him, you know, they left, you know, they were going to take him to the hospital. And at this moment, my grandma came up to me and she said, "Hey, so your parents are going to take your brother to the hospital. You know, you're going to have to come home with me after church." So at this moment, I turn around, I run, you know, out of the sanctuary, and I run out of the foyer, and I remember opening up the doors, and then I'm looking, seeing my dad in the truck pull out of the parking lot of the church, and then going left, so he was like peeling out, going left to the hospital. Now, I remember seeing that, and yeah, so after church, I was at my grandma's house, my dad came, picked me up, you know, and this was like, he had to go back to the hospital, but he wanted to see my face when I opened up, because usually whenever I did Christmas, they did like one big gift and then like a bunch of small stuff. So he wanted me to see my face when I opened up my big gift. And So he let me open it up on Christmas Eve. He let me open it up. It was a PlayStation. I remember that. It was the very first PlayStation. I was so excited, but...
That thing's still amazing to this day.
Right.
PlayStation.
The original, yeah. Absolutely.
Right. But yeah, so I got to play with it for a little bit. Then he had to go back to the hospital. So I had to spend Christmas with my cousins who lived down the street. So he, gave them put all my gifts over there. And then I basically had Christmas with them for the rest of my Christmas. And meanwhile, while I was opening gifts and stuff, my parents basically had a decision to make. Because at the time, the machines that my brother was hooked up to was keeping him alive. But he was basically brain dead. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like he wasn't really living, he was just there, mm-hmm. And so my parents, obviously, it was hard because it was their son, but they had to do what they had to do. And essentially he had passed away. And I remember his funeral. I remember at his funeral, my mom was I was standing next to my mom. And I just look up at her, and I remember she just started weeping. And there was a song going on. I don't remember what the song was, but someone was singing. It was like a worship song, and I remember she just started weeping. And I don't know where my dad was. He might have been in the back running the sound or something. But my mom just started weeping. And then in the midst of all that, she still raised her hands. She still lifted her hands up and was still worshiping. Mm-hmm. And at this moment in time, I was thinking, I was 8 years old. And my 8-year-old immature mind was thinking, how could you still be worshiping this God that's doing this to our family? That's what I was thinking. And because, obviously my mom's got a few more years on me, so she can kind of understand a little bit better than I could. But that was where my mind was. I was like, does God even exist at this point? And for years, from the time I was 8 years old, from when he passed away to the time I was 16, I can't say that I was like an atheist. Like, I just didn't not believe, but it was just like in the back of my head, I'm like, if God either exists and he's just gone from me, or he just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. That was where I was at. But still, in the back of my head, because I've seen stuff that, like, anyone my age wouldn't be able to say that they've seen. Like, I'm talking like miracles. Yeah. Like, when we lived in Tennessee, we were very, I wouldn't say poor, but we were very low on income, And again, we didn't know anyone. This is why my dad said we were so blessed, is because I remember one Thanksgiving, we were about to go in and have, like, macaroni and cheese and hot dogs for Thanksgiving dinner because we had nothing.
Sounds delicious, by the way.
Right. But we had nothing. And but when we went in there, we came home from church, and we went in there, there was an entire spread laid out, talking, like, turkey and, like, mashed potatoes, like, everything you would have at Thanksgiving dinner. To this day, we have no idea where any of it came from. Mm. It was just there.
I think I have an idea.
Yeah. The craziest thing about that story is that it just snowed also. Like, it was, just very light snow. And there was no other footprints except for ours when we left in the morning. You know what I mean? So we have no idea. To God be the glory. That was it. So I remember stuff like that. So in my head, I'm like, God ain't real. But then I'm like, how could you even say that because of all this? I was very conflicting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It gets conflicting because you don't have the experience at 8.
Right.
Right? It's conflicting when you're 38. But you have wisdom and experience to help take your spirit to the right place, right? Your flesh will always rebel against your spirit. Always, 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 always. Because your flesh is a bitter, bitter, bitter thing, because it knows that when you die, you're not taking it with you.
Right.
Right? It's staying behind. And so it is lodged in sin, and it wants to sin, and it wants to keep you from living your best life, because it's mad. Just like the enemy is mad because he'll never make it back to heaven. Mm. Your flesh is not going there. Your spirit says, bye.
Right.
And what would you do if you were clung to something like a parasite and it was leaving you behind?
Right.
Mm. Right. I would do the best I could not to have that happen.
Right. Mm. That's actually a good analogy. So I was in that mode for a while. And so up until I was 12, we still lived there. So up until I was 8. And then when I was 12, we basically sold our house and sold it for more than what it was worth. It was mostly property because we had a lot of property. Like, our house, the house that we sat on, it was just a two-bedroom house. It wasn't huge. But the property is what sold. You know what I mean? So we ended up selling our property, and we had, I think it was 3 1/3 acres. We even had, like, I didn't really get much into this, but we even had, like, animals. We had goats, a couple horses, chickens, like a turkey at one point. We even had a donkey that had a club foot. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, we literally, we've had animals.
I know where the Thanksgiving turkey came from now.
Right, yeah, right. Well, this was the years after.
Oh.
But, yeah, this is when we lived in, that story was when we lived in Tennessee. That was, I think my sister was still alive at that point when that happened. But yeah, so we ended up moving from Arizona to West Virginia and to be with my dad's side of the family. So basically, we joke about it because we say, oh, we're going to go on a vacation and we're supposed to go back to Arizona. But we never did. So that was in 2005, and we've been out here ever since. And we were like, oh, we went on a 20-year-long vacation, you know. But yeah, when we get out here, we liked it so much that we just found a house and we just stayed. But it was nice because we went on a two-week long, just because we didn't have any place to quote unquote live. My dad just bought a truck and it had a fifth wheel camper on it. So we literally just, because it was during the whole summer, we went and we just like traveled from, we took our time, because if you drive straight through from there to here, it's like 3.5 days, you know. But it took us like 2 weeks to get out here because we just wanted to just vacation, just get it away for a little while. And it was nice. We lived in the camper for a little bit, and we stopped at a bunch of different campsites, met some really cool people. Like, it was a lot of fun.
I wish you wouldn't have said that, because my wife has been wanting a camper to travel America for so long.
Some people have lifetime goals to be traveling the United States, right, doing podcasts full time.
She's looking at me. You guys can't see this. You've been trying to twist my arm in this for a while. I wish you would have. I don't know why you came today. It just ruined the rest of my marriage.
I'm sorry. That does sound pretty cool. That one. But no, we traveled out here and we got involved. And again, we went to a church. We found a Nazarene church because we were accustomed to Nazarenes because that's where we went before, you know, when we left our church. And but it was a jar. It was jarring. It was different. But then there was a youth group. The church that I went to started up a youth group called NOS, and it was the youth group, I would say, that had changed my life. Because not long after this is when I finally figured out what I actually wanted in as far as the spirit and stuff. Okay, so I was about 16 years old, and at this point I'd been going to this youth group for probably about a year, and there was a good amount of teens that would show up. You know, there'd be, I don't know, 20 to 30 teens. But it wasn't just people that went to the church. It was people like all over. Because I would, again, for some reason, even though I had a hard time believing in God, I would still get myself involved in any way. And so what we did, or what I did, was I would play phone tag with people. Like, hey, you coming to NOS? Hey, you know, this is, believe it or not, before texting. I didn't have an iPhone at this point. So I had to call everyone physically. That or I'd have to type, you know, like three letters to type out the message, you know. But that, and it was like 80 cents a text. So every time I'd get a text, I remember my mom would get so mad at me because I got a text. I had a flip phone at the time, and I got a text from somebody. And it was some girl saying, hey, that's all it was. She's like, you just paid 40 cents for three letters or per letter, man, or however she said.
Back in the day, we used to get like the first free text was like 10 of them you get for free.
Oh, man.
Like, don't text me, call me, I've got 9 left.
Right.
You learn to abbreviate a lot.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's where that came from, all the extra, like,
BRB. LOL, BRB is exactly where that came from. But I'm not going to type all that out, 3 buttons at a time.
Right. But yeah, so I would basically do that. I would get people to go, and then I remember one service, I don't remember what the actual message was about, but it like hit me hard, you know. And I'm like, I had a tug on my heart, so, because usually at the end of each service they'd have an altar call, and you know, they had a band and stuff. It was real cool, you know, just what teens need. And something was tugging at my heart, saying, you need to be up there, you know. So I went and I went to the altar, and I prayed. I remember this prayer. I prayed. I said, God, if you are real, break my heart for what breaks yours. Man, that was the stupidest thing I've ever prayed, because it worked. It worked. God, he opened up my eyes and he made me see. He revealed himself to me in that prayer. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say it's so dumb is because I went from being bullied because of my skin color, being bullied because I was now the Jesus boy, you know what I mean? Because I was still bullied, like, even out here, but it wasn't like anything. It wasn't as crazy. Like, out there, I'd get beat up if I looked at someone wrong. But out here, it was just more like, oh, you're Jesus boy, you're Jesus freak, or, you know, they'd be calling me names.
What a compliment, you know?
Yeah. But it was still rough because I didn't have a whole lot of
No, no, when you're a kid, it's not. It doesn't feel like one. Right, as an adult now, you can call me Jesus freak and pray to your sky daddy. I'm like, I love that, you know? I will pray to sky daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Please. I think he's pleased with that. amazing. Yeah, you guys keep coming up with a great names.
right.
He's like, I don't need to defend him. He can defend himself.
Right. But what was crazy about it is, this is what I mentioned earlier, how, you know, I found out what I wanted spiritually, and it wasn't there, because NOS, It changed my life.
What's that stand for?
It was No Ordinary Sound.
And it
was
I thought it was nitrous oxide.
Whatever. Right. Now, yeah, that's what it stood for. But it was the NOS band. So they had a band there. And the way that it would work is you'd show up. It was like 5 o'clock. You'd show up 5 p.m., whatever. You can just hang out for like an hour and a half before service starts. And they had pizza. They usually got food. You know, again, what every growing boy needs, you know, pizza and chips, you know, like it's, you know, then they'd get soda and stuff. And then upstairs, they had like the teen room. They had, you know, a pool table, foosball. They even had like a rock band, Guitar Hero, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the works, you know. And it was really cool. There was a lot of teens that would go because it was a lot of fun stuff. And then, of course, then they'd get serious with the service and stuff. But it wasn't, again, it wasn't very Pentecostal. You know what I mean? So after I prayed that prayer, he opened up my eyes and I was looking around. And I remember someone telling me a long time ago that they decided not to go to NOS because they were like, I can just go to the teen club and do the same stuff. He was right. Because when I went there, there was things happening that in church you shouldn't be doing. You know what I mean? And I didn't notice before. You know, that's the significance. That's why I say this is so dumb. Why did I pray that? You know, because things were happening that, like, you know, I'd see, like, girlfriend and boyfriend, like, making out over there. And there wasn't a lot of, adult supervision when there should have been. Like, as much supervision as there should have been. You know what I mean? And it was just, they were just running around crazy. You know what I mean? And then it's like, this is what Jesus wants. You know what I mean? Like, that was where my mind was. So I eventually quit going. And then this will kind of tie into my testimony about, like, playing drums and stuff. So I started playing drums and stuff. But it was at a different youth group. This was the youth group that was more serious about it. But it was literally like the same amount of kids, but it was more of a... This is actually when I started going to New Life Church I was telling you about before. But at the time, the youth was called Alive Student Ministries. And they basically had a building that... Because the church grew, and it grew, you know, bigger than what the building was, so they had to move. It still had the building that they used for just the youth. And there was a good 30, sometimes we had 40 kids that would show up. Like it was pretty big. And I started playing drums there. And that was kind of how that happened. Again, I'm going to try to keep the drumming for another day because it's a whole long story. You know, and then, you know, I started to, again, started seeing what I wanted. I still went to the Nazarene church on, like, the Sundays, but because I went with my parents. But on youth group days, I would go, you know, I would go to youth and feel like I'd get my fill, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I would go be bored on Sunday morning. You know, that's kind of the way that it was, you know what I mean? But then, so a few years go by and, you know, I'm doing this and then I don't really know what happened. Because you know how sometimes you're real strong in the Lord and then you just kind of fall back for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So while I was still playing drums at this youth group, I end up getting a girlfriend. And her and I do things that we should not be doing because of, you know, I had lost my virginity. You know, mm-hmm. And now while all this time was going on, I actually just recently made a song about it. I don't know if you heard it yet or not, but it was my most recent song. I texted you and I said, hey, you want to check out my new song?
It's Covenant?
The Covenant. It's what the Covenant's about. Because I have been struggling while all this was going on, I've been struggling with pornography for like the longest time.
That's every man's battle.
Right.
So
right.
Before you even go, like the people admit it versus the people that don't, do it than admit it.
And
You keep it in the dark, and the enemy's going to keep kindling that fire for you. But as soon as you start telling people, he has less places to hide.
right. So what had happened was again, like I thought, I guess, again, the song would explain, which people listening won't hear it yet. But I mentioned how, because the way the song is set up is like there's my normal voice. I don't know if you showed him or not, but there's like my normal voice in the first verse talking about my struggles with pornography. And then the second verse is a demonic voice trying to get me back to that. You know, that's the setup. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Indwelling Sin by Lecrae. I don't know if you ever heard that song or not. You probably don't listen to rap. Okay, well.
Anyway. We do
occasionally, depending on who it is and what it is, right? Like, I don't like the message of mainstream rap.
Therefore,
I don't listen to mainstream rap. But I don't listen to, like, a lot of heavy metal either, so.
I gotcha. But yeah, so that's kind of what that song was talking about. And what had happened was I had thought that maybe my struggle would end if I just had sex, you know. It got worse.
Yeah,
it got a lot worse. And that's what I was explaining in the song a little bit, because like the demonic voice was like, "Oh, you try to hide in it, then you got the real thing, and it got worse, didn't it?" You know, it's kind of some of the lyrics. And yeah, it's totally like that. That's what I was dealing with. And then of course, like I said. Because I don't know if you guys believe in the soul tie when you have that.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Well, that 100% happened with me because I thought that I was head over heels in love with this girl. Like, it was so stupid.
Because it's the first person you imparted your spirit with.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so it gets even worse because at the time, before all that happened, you know, I was a virgin up until I was 19. But before all that stuff happened, you know, I had given her my promise ring. So stupid. You know what I mean? But yeah, years, like I said, I was kind of doing the promiscuous stuff for a little while. And, you know, her and I broke up. And then I got with a girl that went to my youth group and did stuff. Like, it was so dumb. And then eventually I had met and married someone within a year, 1 year. And that, again, was, for me, it was quite dumb. Like some people, you know, you get with someone you just know, you know, whatever. Like that happens, you know what I mean? But it didn't happen that way with me because her and I were so unequally yoked. And the end result is, you know, we end up having a son, you know, so. And she ends up cheating on me, you know. So I try to do the right thing and I invite her back for like 6 months and she's still doing it. So I'm like, all right, well, I filed for divorce and that was it. And, you know, again, that's a longer story too. But mm-hmm. then we, so what's crazy about all that is while this was going on, I was in the label with Ben at the time. And, you know, it was LBM Records. Him and I were in the same label for a little while. So we decided I had, while this was going on, I, you know, got divorced and stuff. And then I remember when my first album dropped, things happened. So I'm not in the label anymore. But my first album dropped. And then my divorce had been final the same day that it dropped, basically. But I was in a rut. Like, I was like, I just want to die at this point. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't care about anything. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. The person you thought you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And now right. you've ended all the contracts right. and commitment yeah. with
and
that person.
And we have a 2-year son mm-hmm. at the time as well.
And no matter how horrible you think they are now, there was one point where you actually liked them, right? There was a reason.
Right,
like,
right.
you couldn't imagine your life without them.
Right, right.
And now you're like, I can't believe I fell for this.
Right.
Yeah, no.
And then, so I had got with a couple friends and I said, hey, so this is actually New Year's going from 2018 into 2019. And I got with some friends and I said, look, because at this point I've never been drunk in my life. You know what I mean? Like, but at this point I got with my friends and I said, look, I don't want to wake up blackout, but I want to definitely feel it. You know what I mean? That's what happened. You know, I got kind of messed up as far, you know, we did a lot of drinking and did a lot of dumb stuff. And this is like almost seven years ago. And again, I had a relationship with God, but I kind of fell back for a little while, you know? And that's what happened. You know, I got drunk my first time and it was crazy. But again, part of a song that I write, I mentioned how, you know, you try to drink your sorrows away, but when you wake up, you feel the same. And that's exactly what happened to me. Because like the next morning, I just started crying. I'm like, I need to do something better than this. You know what I mean? Like I can't do this anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I did. I got my heart right. I got myself right. And literally a month later, I met who's now my current wife, which I actually made her wait 2 years before we dated about 2 years before we ended up getting married. And she was almost mad at me about it. She was like, why'd you marry your first wife in only a year? And I'm like, well, I'm going to make sure this time.
Yeah, I learned how to vet them this time.
Yeah, I ain't getting divorced the second time, you know, but yeah, since then, I mean, things have been great. I mean, her and I, we've been married, I think we're going on 4 years, been together, going on 6 years, been together, and we're going on, I think 3 years we married, but we have a 2-year-old son together, and we have one more on the way, actually.
Congratulations.
No, thank you. And it's been great. I mean, and she keeps me in check, too. Like, her and I are equally yoked. It's like, my ex, we were not. Like, she pretended to be a Christian, but she wasn't. But my current wife, what's funny about that is we actually kind of knew each other, because there's a 6-year age gap. So, like, I'm 31, she's 25, yeah. She's 25, I'm 31. And when her and I first met, I was 19, she was 14. So, you know what I mean? So we kind of knew each other, you know, and of course back then she was like, oh, he's cute, you know. But that was years ago. And then we kind of had our own lives for a little while. She actually ended up making mistakes. She ended up pregnant at 16, had her first son before I was with her. She had Parker. I don't know if he's ever going to hear this podcast, but like he doesn't actually know that I'm not his biological father, because I was in his life since he was 2, you know. And but it's been great. Like I said, it's been, you know, it's been a journey. I don't believe God's definitely not done with me yet, because I've got an album working on, and it's basically around that. It's called Forward, and it's going to be about moving on from your past and letting God have his way with you, letting God change you.
I like how you said God's not done with you yet. Of course not. Right. You're 31. Yeah, he's got a lot of use left in you, buddy.
Of course.
He's got a lot of purpose in your life.
Right. Yeah.
He says, you keep leaning into this, and I got a lot more for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of us don't realize that the whole H-O-L-E that we're trying to fill with worldly things is needing it, like what we really need for that whole is Jesus to make us whole, W-H-O-L-E.
Right. And you know what's crazy about you mentioned that, and I remember the first time, because like I said before, when me and my ex had our outs and we kind of split the first time, and we were split for like 6 months before I invited her back, and I'm like, let's work on this, you know. I never actually cried over my brother and my sister until I remember I was at church. And I was talking to my dad a little bit about it. And this is when, you know, I told him what was the situation with me and my ex. And that I was like, I don't think we're going to make it, you know. And then for some reason, things were starting to come back to me, like with my brother and my sister. And I was thinking to myself, you know, like, I practically hated God because they weren't here anymore. You know, because I felt like my brother was the only one that I could really talk to in the situation that was at, like, school and stuff. But, like, will they really want to live like that? Like, what if their passing was like their answer to their prayer? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that was the moment when I started to
the answer to your parents' prayer. Like, I pray that they're made whole. Right. Done.
Right.
But it's not the way you thought it would look.
Right.
But they're whole.
Right.
I guarantee you they're running.
Right. No, definitely. Definitely. Right.
And kicking their head freed up in a fit of joy. Like, yeah. I guarantee you.
I mean, I think that's the biggest part of my testimony. You know, I don't know if you guys ever listened to Tim Hawkins or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he has this bit where he's like, you know, sometimes you hear testimonies like, oh, yeah, I was shot at 20 times and I, you know, addicted to drugs and all this. And then you're thinking, then you're looking at your testimony and you're like, man, I wish I was addicted to crack because the testimony ain't as big. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But my testimony revolves a lot around loss. Because other things that I didn't really mention is when I was 19, I had a friend that passed away in a car accident. You know, I was 18. He was 19. You know, and I had an uncle that had passed away with cancer. And, you know, I had my grandfather also on my dad's side passed away because he had a heart attack. He was working. He was 62 years old and he was cutting wood for his house. Like he shouldn't have been doing that in the first place, but he ended up having a heart attack and passing away. And, you know, and I think that was my biggest hang up through life is just loss. At a very young age, I had to come to grips with, I had to understand death. I had to learn about that, about loss. You know?
Well, I mean, that God is going to use every one of our testimonies against the enemy in the end, right? They're just going to punish him.
Right.
And so no matter how big or small you think your testimony is, it's going to reach someone because that's what it's meant to do,
right?
Your testimony, your story is going to reach somebody that the person who got shot 20 times because they're a crackhead before they crashed, like another one that's crashed into a police station twice, you know, got arrested 8 times in a year. And now he's an evangelist in South America, you know? And so there's no limit to what God can do to you or do with you. And your testimony, no matter how small you think it is very powerful for the kingdom of heaven. Very powerful. Right. And I would warn against any of the listeners from feeling bad or some kind of way about your testimony not measuring up to somebody else's, right? Mm. You're not the one who's doing the measuring.
Mm. Right. Right.
It is God. And even if your testimony is small, if you share it with 100 people, but the person with the big testimony shares it with one, who do you think has reached more people? Mm. You have. With your small little testimony,
right?
Comparison is a thief of joy.
Well,
your testimony is powerful. It is important. Mm. And most importantly, it is yours. It is your relationship defined in God.
Right. See, it's real quick, just to capitalize on that, that actually just reminded me. I do remember this at my sister's funeral and at my brother's funeral. This is another thing where it's just like just another, you know, just a way to put a cap on it. There was people that went to their funeral that didn't even really know them, but had given their heart to Christ because of the situation and because of my parents were still worshiping even in the midst of all this. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing, too, that I just didn't get so young. You know what I mean? Like, there was a reason for that. Like, as sad as it is, there was a reason for that. And I think that it's all to just get people to feel their way towards Him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that, I think that was the biggest.
If we're to give Him our heart, how are we going to do it without feeling?
Right. Right.
Like, you can say it all you want, but until you feel it.
I mean, it even goes along with Jonathan, my friend that had passed away in a car accident. He was a very good spiritual leader to me. He was someone who was in a Nazarene church, but he showed me how to worship, you know? And when he passed away, I wasn't mad at God. I was sad, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But my grandma was like, well, I mean, if everyone died when they were like really old, you'd just be up in heaven chilling with the old folks. That's what my grandma told me, you know, because she was living with us at the time. And she was like, I mean, sometimes God needs someone young to brighten up heaven, basically, you know, mm-hmm. and that makes sense, you know, and mm-hmm. When it happens. And then my uncle that passed away, my uncle Jeff, he wasn't afraid of death. He was right with God. You know, he was more afraid for his family because mm-hmm. he had family members that are not saved, and mm-hmm. and he didn't know what's going to happen to them. You know, that was the only thing he was worried about. But yeah, he lived a very, very good life with pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing with my grandpa. I mean, he made mistakes, but I don't think he was afraid of death either. It just happens.
That's how it should be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ready.
Yeah, I make mistakes every single day. Right. All the time. Right. I mean, probably twice on Tuesday. And right. and it does not change that Christ died for me. It does not change that Christ is for me. It does not change that Christ has been risen from the dead, right? And it does not change that Christ has paid my penalty. It does not change that God loves me. None right. of the things that I do wrong changes mm-hmm. any of the way that God sees me, right? It's only my perception that's slowing me down.
Right.
So when I get hung up on the things that I'm doing wrong, I'm not focusing on the things that God wants from me. And that's what's limiting me. So you got to get out of that think. All right, I messed up, but Jesus paid the price. God, help me turn this around. How can I make this for you? And that's a good beginning step.
Okay, yeah.
In last week's episode, we talked about how Jesus meets us in the trenches. And he gets us through those. And then we're able to help others through the same circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So right. you'll be I able mean, to know how to talk to those people and know what they're going through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's right. biblical.
More so than
you suffer so you can help other people in it and comfort
right,
them.
Right, right.
And we don't mind because we know. We know where your brother and sister are. We right. know. We know where your uncle is. We know where right. your grandpa is, right? We right. know. And so we don't have to. We can be sad because we miss them. Yeah. That's fine.
Right.
But we have joy because we know where they are. Mm. We know that when we go, we know who's going to welcome us. It's going to be God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and them.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, welcome home. Yes. right, oh, right, man, what right. a friendly face.
Right, right, right. Right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I actually, mentioned something like that in my music song. The last verse, I talk about, how, like, I don't want to forget my past because I want to share it with people, you know, and hopefully it helps them, mm-hmm. Helps other people grow in their spiritual walk because it was rough for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, But I mean, God showed His way out, and I don't believe that I've completely escaped all tragedy because I mean, things happen all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. Heck, the weekend before Thanksgiving, I wrecked my Traverse. You know what I mean? So it just, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Right now, I'm just trying to just let God lead me, and that's where I stand with Him. You know, I'm 100%. I'm a believer for sure. Like, there's not a question in my mind. You know, and I mean. You know, people, it's so funny to me to talk to people that are like that are atheists that like, you know, God, like, because one guy told me the other day, like, God let my mom get eaten up by cancer. And I was like, well, if you don't believe in God, why would you blame Him for it? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? That was my thought.
Exactly.
You know what
I mean? So quick to blame Him for all the hardships, but you don't thank Him for any of the good right, things. Did you thank Him for your life? Then don't blame Him for taking it.
Right.
If you didn't thank Him for it, don't blame Him for taking it.
Right. Right. Especially if you don't even believe in Him. How can you blame Him if you don't think He's real?
They believe in Him. You know what I mean? They believe right. in Him. If they bring Him up in anger in any way, they believe in Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just mad at Him.
Right.
He didn't fulfill something for them. They don't understand.
I think that's where I was. I can't say that I didn't quite. You know what's funny about this is like I've never told my parents are probably going to listen to this podcast, and I've never actually told them that. So they're like, "Oh, I didn't know that about you all these years," you know.
Surprise!
But right, but
don't be mad.
Right, right, right. But yeah, I mean that's the way that I look at it now. It's like you can't not say you don't believe in Him and then just like, oh, He did this to me. You know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. then
if you don't believe in Him, then nobody like, did this.
It's like
to you.
It's like the movie God's Not Dead. You guys ever see that movie? God's Not Dead years ago. Because
what's that? The one that goes with the court case?
Well, that's the second one, I think. Oh, okay. Or second or third one. But they have like three of them. But the first one is about a college student going up against a professor that claims to be atheist, but he blamed God for some things. And he basically put God on trial. So maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, but, yeah, it could be.
But he basically made him say that he hated God. And he's like, well, how can you hate him if he doesn't exist? You know what I mean? Like, it's true, you know, but... Yeah, that was that Newsboy song, God's Not Dead, was based on, yeah, but...
It's tremendous, the misunderstanding we have, even as believers, right? So you get mad at God and leave him, or you get mad at God and stay with him, okay? And so what does this turn into? It turns into the prodigal son. You got the one that left and did his life, and you got the one that stayed home. And you're like, oh, we stayed home with Dad. But at the end, you find out that he was bitter. Mm-hmm. He was a very bitter son because of how he treated the one that had walked away. Right. And so we learned that, yes, you can be better in the house of God and not understand who he is or what his character is because we're so close, right? That sometimes we have to fail in order to see how good he is.
Right.
If I'm good and I'm in his house and I obey him every time, it looks very wrong when I see him rewarding all these sinners. But when I am one of those sinners and he rewards me, I feel very good because now I understand his heart for me.
Right. Yeah, it's good. Good stuff.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Definitely. We'll circle back next month.
Right. Yeah, I'm real excited about that. It won't be quite as long, but yeah, I'll just talk about the drumming side of things since you kind of know my story on, like, as far as the writing, the music, and why I write, you know.
When I was listening to your one song, well, a couple of the songs, I had to rewind. I'm like, wait, what? Did he just say he lost his sister? Oh, did he just say he lost his brother too? Oh, did his wife cheat on him? I'm like, oh my goodness. And it's like, that's like a quick testimony. If you needed it wrapped up in 3-4 minutes, you got those songs.
It's like a rap song that's a reverse of a country song. Yeah. You know, he loses everything, and then he gets everything.
Right. It's crazy how God is doing this because, like, I'm literally, technically, Forward is going to be my second studio album, not including the EP. Well, yeah, not including the EP, but I'm already working on my third album. And I have a song called The Whole Story, and it's going to go into detail about my brother and my sister, you know, and it's going to be very emotional. And I've already wrote it. I have a demo beat. I just need to get an actual beat written and made and stuff.
But how hard is that to sing when you are emotionally attached to the material that you're singing that triggers a response?
Honestly, I think it does better because you can hear it in my voice. Because there's one thing, normally, just so I don't mess up, I usually have the lyrics on my phone in front of me as I record them. But if I don't need the lyrics, it actually sounds a lot better because you can hear the emotion in my voice, and I think it's more impactful. You know? And that's kind of what Be Still was like for me, because Be Still is my anti-suicide song. That one is on Apple Music, Spotify, but that was my anti-suicide song because I dealt with thoughts of that in the past. You know, I've had depression, you know, anxiety, and I still get anxiety sometimes, but not so much depression. It's just so I try to put as much emotion as I can behind it because I feel like it's impactful.
And it's apparently an outlet that God has given you to use.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, 100%, that's definitely what it's been like for years. Music got me through. I mean, the hardest times. I remember I would listen to a lot of Toby Mac, back when he would rap more so, because he doesn't really rap much anymore. Not sometimes, but not too much. But like his album Momentum and Welcome to Diverse City.
Momentum.
Yeah.
DC Talk.
I was gonna say, actually, on our little 20-year vacation, on our 2 weeks that we spent on the road, when we were driving a couple hours to the next campsite or whatever, I had a DC Talk Greatest Hits CD.
Yeah,
it was called Intermission Greatest Hits. I don't know if you've heard of that or not, but it had all their older songs, a lot of their good songs, and I listened to them so much because they got me through, you know, and some stuff that Toby Mac wrote got me through a lot, you know, and that's one of these days I was thinking to myself, I was like, one of these days I'm going to do that, you know, and hopefully I can help someone else get through something, you know, and that it got me through big time. So
wouldn't it be cool if you sang a song that actually he heard and it got him through something?
That would be crazy.
How profound would that be?
Because I don't know if you guys have heard or not, but in 2019 he lost his son, which is crazy, is because that even impacted me, because I listened to, because it was True Dog, the kid that did all the True Dog, because he had True Dog on every one of his albums, and he was like 3 years old on Momentum, you know, and that was crazy to me, knowing that he had just passed away, and That would be insane if that actually happened, but I don't know. I don't foresee that, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. One can hope. So.
Well, if this episode has been a blessing to you, we ask that you pass it along and share it with a friend. And also, we have some fundraising campaigns, so there's a bunch of links that for different options and different ways you can give in our About section. It would be greatly appreciated to help us keep this going. And we just appreciate you listening, and we pray that it's been a blessing. And don't forget, share it with a friend. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.